Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Life and Art. I'm Lulu Smith, in for Lila Raptopoulos. What I'm about to say might sound absurd, but books are having a cultural moment right now. I don't mean that we're necessarily reading more or that reading has outpaced, say, streaming movies or TV. What I mean is that books are fashionable. There are clothes on the runway inspired by novels and authors, fashion houses are sponsoring book podcasts, and a recent TikTok interiors trend is called bookshelf wealth. My colleague Simon Chilvers recently wrote an article about fashion's love affair with literature, and he's here with me in the London studio to talk about it. Hi, Simon.
Hi.
So to start off, can you just sort of tell me about how this phenomenon came about, or like how you kind of first noticed the trend?
I think one of my initial excitements around this topic was an ongoing obsession with Marc Jacobs' Instagram, where he has these, what he calls reading hours, and he will post a picture of himself reading a novel or some kind of quite cultural book. And I think originally why I found them so amazing was because the books themselves look like really old library books. They're like really big hardbacks.
Right.
I just thought they were kind of like quite fascinating. And he also has long-standingly had a bookstore, which is called Bookmark.
Is that in London?
It's in New York. And it's obviously quite a fun name, Bookmark, Marc Jacobs.
Yeah, oh yeah. So you talk in your article about a few bookshops that kind of marry fashion and literature, including Karl Lagerfeld's former photo studio, which is now a kind of cultural hub in Paris. But if we're talking about it as a trend that's reflected in the clothing itself, how do you pinpoint it?
I think it's probably a combination of seeing book-related things on the runways. So that would be Valentino. Most recently did these men's clothes with text from A Little Life on them.
Unbelievable. It's the pictures in your article, I was just like...
I mean, it's quite interesting, like the idea of a kind of quite traumatic novel suddenly being put on a pair of jeans.
I was going to say, yeah, I think we'll get to the Valentino example because it seems to sum up something like quite specific that's going on. But what other examples are there?
Anna Sui, her show last month in New York for Autumn Winter 2024 was inspired by Miss Marple and Virginia Woolf, and was staged at this incredible book room in New York at the Strand Bookstore, which is this really beautiful space, loads of bookshelves. And then before that, the season before, Sakai showing in Paris had these amazing prints of like bookshelves actually on clothes as well.
Oh, cool. So, I mean, cool?
Yeah, actually cool. Like, yeah. Like quite beautiful, like quite muted colours, like really sort of vintage looking books. So I think there's been a few examples quite recently on runways where literature has kind of infiltrated fashion. And even actually the most recent Tom Brown show in New York last month was inspired by the Raven poem by Edgar Allan Poe. So there is definitely a kind of bubbling of literary reference points on the catwalk for sure.
Yeah. We'll talk about a bit about like why we think that's happening. But first, I kind of want to take a moment for the Valentino collection and particularly the jeans. So for listeners, there is this pair of jeans which have a block of white text in capitals on the thigh, which is a quote from A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara, which is an 800-page book and notoriously quite depressing. Why do you think they went with that book? Do you know the kind of backstory?
I actually don't know the backstory, but I just think it's such a kind of iconic study of masculinity. And I think that that's kind of what a lot of fashion designers do, is like they unpick stories as part of their collections. And I think there was something about that particular book. I mean, it's obviously not a new book, that's continued to resonate. And when it was a play, everyone was talking about it. And I think possibly the idea of putting those kinds of words onto clothes is some kind of statement about masculinity and kind of, yeah, like discovering masculinity or unpicking it in a way that perhaps literature can do in a more kind of like deep dive way than perhaps it seems that fashion can.
We should also mention bookshelf wealth, which is this new kind of interiors trend. Can you sort of give a sense of what that is?
I mean, I think the funny thing about bookshelf wealth is that it sort of still feels to me like it's slightly dependent on how you interpret the word wealth.
Right.
Is on the one hand, on TikTok, there seems to be this kind of like very grand version of bookshelf wealth, which is where it's all about cozy seating and log fires and these very beautiful bookshelves full of books that have obviously been very curated. And then on the other hand, it also is meant to be sort of disheveled and kind of like the anti-version of that, like books that you might have actually read as opposed to bought because they look sexy.
Yeah, I think I'm more in the disheveled camp. When I was reading that, I was like, music to my ears. But it's just, it fits into this idea because it's sort of, cynically, it's signalling a kind of literariness without necessarily having read the book. So it's using books as like objects for decorative value rather than for their text.
I mean, I have to say, when I first heard about this particular trend, I was a little bit eye-rolling because I was a bit like, isn't this just kind of what lots of people did in the pandemic when they did all their work calls on Zoom and that actually realised that one of the nicest backdrops perhaps in their house was their bookshelf because it was just visually a bit more interesting than like a white wall or, you know, the kitchen table or whatever. So I found it kind of interesting that this had become like more than it already was. Like, I was a bit like, is this not already a thing?
Yeah, it seems kind of surprising that that's come up now. So let's kind of talk about our theories as to why this is happening. What's your best guess about what's going on and why books are so hot right now? Or why books are in again as a fashion item?
I mean, I think there's like lots of reasons for this happening at this moment. One of them, I think, is that, I mean, Sarah Andelman, who ran the very influential store Colette, which was this incredibly influential Parisian boutique, which ran between 1997 and 2017. I was talking to her about it, and she was saying that one of the things that's so great about something like Marc Jacobs on Instagram is that it really sort of, despite the fact that we live in this kind of culture where there's more fashion shows, more collections, more this, more all the time, that by taking a book and just sitting down with yourself, it's like just pausing and respecting the moment.
Yeah.
And I guess in a way, it's like the anti-scroll, you know? Like,
it does feel like there's a kind of parallel with vinyls in some way, where people are sort of seeking older technology. I mean, to refer to books as like older technology seems absurd, but that's kind of what it is, as a way to sort of seek refuge from the chaos of the internet. I wonder, I mean, even in the kind of design trend, it's like people have been putting vinyls on their wall for decades and that's kind of come back round.
I think it's also, you know, we've got so used to like binge watching Netflix series and all of these things, and, you know, we're looking at imagery a lot. So I think this idea of like a break from the visuals is also a big part of the reason why I think a lot of people in fashion like books, is because, you know, it's just a break from this kind of bombardment of stuff to look at, and more so than ever now.
I wonder if there's like what the relationship is with quiet luxury, or if there is a relationship between, especially something like, I know I keep banging on about this, the Valentino collection. But the idea with quiet luxury is that, or at least my interpretation of it, is that there are sort of these stealth symbols where it looks like a regular garment, but then there's one thing on it where, like, if you know, you know. And the Valentino collection, it isn't stealthy, but the references are, I mean, yeah, do you think that there's anything sort of there in terms of a parallel or a comment?
I mean, it's interesting you should say that, because I think a lot of people writing about bookshelf wealth have kind of put it on the same line as quiet luxury.
Mm.
I'm not sure I necessarily connect the two things together. I definitely think that, in a way, there is definitely something about fashion and fashion collections and creating those collections that's a lot more thought and work and deep diving into references, which usually start with books, then perhaps the public maybe don't always see. And I think that it's very easy to sort of eye roll a bit at like the glamour of fashion and the models and all of this stuff, that the circus that goes around it. But, you know, most fashion designers that are actually good and who have had long careers will often have a whole bunch of references that they have used and distilled down into their collections. And, you know, I think it's one of those great questions to ask when you've talked to fashion designers, like, what books have you been reading? It's quite often illuminating, in the same way that I think music is as well. And I guess the other thing that's interesting about the current literary fashion hookup is that it's kind of like a similar trend to the way in which so many fashion designers have collaborated with artists in the last 20 or so years. I think there's something about this kind of cross-multidisciplinary cultural mashup stuff that social media has kind of allowed us to play with a bit more. I think, you know, we're seeing it across all of the different visual mediums, like whether it's dance or art or painting or sculpture or whatever. There's a lot more like of these like partnerships and this blurring of like, what is visual art or what does it mean?
It's funny, as I'm talking to you, I'm kind of changing my mind, because I went into this with a very cynical take, which is that to me, it seems a bit like an attempt in some ways to establish a new sort of elite sphere in a fractured culture or whatever, and slapping a literary quote onto a £1,000 jacket for intellectual clout sort of seems to me to hark back to these old status symbols where only rich people went to university or read a lot, and we've spent the last, you know, 70 years trying to democratize literature and get sort of rid of that stigma. So on the one hand, it can kind of be read as an attempt by high fashion to sort of reclaim literature for whoever can afford, you know, a high fashion collection.
I mean, I sort of think also the thing about it is that you can be quite cynical about it if you want to be. I mean, you know, I think when you tell people that Chanel are sponsoring podcasts and, or not sponsoring them, they're actually creating their own. They have this huge amount of content on their website, which is based around literature. But actually, when you sort of dive into some of it, it's kind of really quite thought-provoking and deep. And it's not as like fluffy as I think you might think if you hadn't listened to it. Like, I was listening to the one which they recorded in Manchester last year when Chanel did this big series of events in Manchester. And, you know, it's quite intense stuff. Like, it's talking about female rights and literature in a way that's very intellectual. It's not trying to shoehorn in, oh, and by the way, buy a Chanel handbag.
Right, yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel disingenuous in that way. And it is quite democratic. I mean, that was another one of the things that Sarah said to me when we were chatting, was that, you know, most people can buy a novel and most people can be part of a book club. So there is a kind of democracy around reading, in the same way that everybody gets dressed in the morning. You know, everyone puts clothes on. And yes, we don't all put Chanel clothes on. But I think that there's
one day.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Do you think, I mean, on that note, do you think that we'll see this book stuff in mass fashion as well? If, like, you know, do you think there'll be a kind of trickle down?
I hope not. No, I mean, I don't really think I'd like to see a printed bookshelf on a high street outfit, particularly, which makes me sound quite snobby.
It comes full circle.
But I mean, I don't know. Like, I think some of the things that are interesting about this particular moment is that designers are taking things that they're finding very inspiring and putting into their work. And I guess maybe people at more high street end are doing a similar thing, and it's just that we haven't really talked about that in fashion so much. I don't know.
I think it also goes the other way as well with, like, the publishing industry. There's always been a sort of push to promote books as aspirational, chic, desirable objects. And I think that's becoming more pronounced. Like, a lot of money has just gone into or more money is going into making book covers. And like as a journalist, even if you receive a proof, you'll get like a hardback cover often with like a little theme treats with it. So it's really leaning into that idea of like books as objects as well and having an experience with an object.
When we were talking before about social media and how there is like this huge amount of stuff that we're sort of taking on board, I guess like in a way, publishing is the same. It realizes that it has to jostle for so much attention. And everything, as you say, has become kind of much more visual and, I guess, persuasive because there's so much to look at. There's so much choice. But I guess all of those sort of details are even more present than they perhaps were before. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's just the way it goes. Simon, thanks so much for coming on the show. This was so interesting and insightful.
Thank you for having me.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. I've linked to Simon's articles in the show notes, including his profile of Brandon Taylor, as well as Edwin Heathcote's piece on bookshelf wealth. Simon also told me some authors that he'd love to see featured more in fashion are Deborah Levy and Annie Erno, so I've put some links to their work too. All links will get you past the paywall on FT.com. Other things in the show notes are discounts for a subscription to the Financial Times and ways to stay in touch with us on email and Instagram. As Lila says, we love hearing from you. I'm Lulu Smith, and here's my talented team. Katia Komkova is our senior producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Giovinco, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Special thanks this week to Persis Love. Have a lovely week, and Lila will be back on Friday.